Jesus was a passionate ping pong player. He loved the game. He liked the sound of the ball going across the net. He could do it all day long. Sandals presented a problem for him. Couldn't move as fast as he liked. His favorite opponent was the devil. The devil was far more invested into the game because he cared about winning, whereas Jesus was invested into the future, so to speak. Moreover, the devil had a good spin. He could slice the ball and make it turn in the ways that were entirely unpredictable to Jesus. So he would send Jesus from one end of the table to another, from one end of the table to another. The devil also counted the points, unlike Jesus, who was always confused and always kept asking, "So what's the score? What's the score?" Jesus was a passionate. When they asked me to note an idea on the card, I came up with little stories. And then brings up the question, are stories ideas? They cannot be devoid of ideas.
Jesus was a passionate.
They involve language. And if there's language, there are ideas. At the same time, they cannot be reduced to ideas. They are something else too. So if they're ideas, where are they in the stories? If the stories are not ideas, where did ideas come from into the stories? Is the word story a story?
His favorite opponent.
Do you have to unpack it to tell a story? Do you have to start with an idea of the story to tell a story?
Far more invested into the game because.
And if you do that, how complicated can it get? That is, how many ideas can you produce in a story before ruining the story as you're telling it?
The devil had a good spin.
That brings up the question also, is the word idea an idea? That is, do we have to conceptualize the framework of thinking, as it were, in that framework before we can think in that framework? And then, related to that, the question is, and Cage asked it, is the word music music?
Was always confused and always.
If it's not, how does it become music? If it is, why does music have to be performed outside language? When they asked me to note an idea on the card,
organized perhaps the first.
I came up with little stories.
Most likely the first and most likely the last performance of John Cage music. In Sarajevo,
they
my hometown,
devoid of ideas.
I was 21. I had read a book about by John Cage, his essays and writings, and was phenomenally intrigued.
They are something else,
and I wanted to hear the music.
So, is there ideas?
Growing up in socialism,
I had no access to that music.
So I tracked down a writer who wrote about Cage and the 20th century music and brought him to Sarajevo. He risked his marriage because he and his wife were supposed to go on vacation, but no one had ever asked him to perform John Cage music. So he came to Sarajevo from Belgrade. One of the pieces he performed, the first piece he performed, was called, I believe, An Orange and a Banana. He ate an orange and a banana in front of a microphone. This was at a club that I programmed with a bunch of friends, and people would come just to have a drink and hang out. And so at some point, they would just see a very, very hairy man with long hair eating a banana and an orange in front of a microphone.
If it's not,
and to say the least, it was baffling
to
them. And so they completely ignored them, ignored him, and he ignored them too.
My family used to have an upright piano. I did not know how to play the piano, but I would bang on the keyboard. And upon reading John Cage, I decided to try to prepare the piano without telling my family about the preparation. So I stuck little rubber bands and all kinds of objects into the piano. And then I was banging at it, prepared. My sister, who was going to a
music school and was supposed to be practicing the piano, came to the keyboard to practice, and then was surprised by the fact that the piano was prepared, and she did not know that it was prepared by me.
So he came, so he from
but even when it wasn't prepared, it was out of tune. So to speak, the piano prepared itself even before I prepared it for the performance.
He ate an orange and a banana.
But I kept banging at it, and
at a club,
because I read Cage, I thought, this is music, no matter what I do. No matter what I do, however loudly I bang it, or however much I do not bang it, I just sit in silence as in 4:33. That's music. It was liberating to me. Later on, I started a band, and I was banging an electric guitar after that, and also some girls, because of the electric guitar.
My family.
I wonder if narration is a form of preparation of language.
I did not know how to play.
You get this instrument that is ready for use, that is available to all of us, that has its sounds, which are predetermined, so that the word subway means subway, so that the word rain is rain, so that the word Broadway is not a Broadway, but just a street. Going from north to south, to south to north in New York.
My sister,
and then,
who was going to
when you start
school,
narrating, when you start telling a story,
the piano,
could it be that you put in a little object in each of those words, thereby unpacking its possibilities?
By the fact that the piano
could it be that you activate those possibilities that are beyond the available meaning?
But even when it wasn't prepared, it was out of tune.
Not only beyond the available meaning, but also beyond the available sound. The word subway or Broadway would sound differently in the story that in which a character might be taking
that
subway and then getting off at Broadway at 96 to go to Symphony Space. So that the sound is invoked in reading and narrating, but also the meaning is invoked in that sound. And so
later on, I started a band, and I was banging.
The ultimate meaning of the story is much like this performance, whereby layers are heard and also understood.
My family.
I wonder. I like the story about John Cage when he went to the deaf room where all the sounds were muffled. And nothing could be heard except, he said,
to all of us,
the hum of
that has its
blood
which are predetermined,
and the beating of his heart and the screeching of the nervous system.
Rain is rain, so the word Broadway.
And he said,
not a
or wrote,
way,
after that experience, that as long as
from north to south,
there are human beings whose hearts are beating and the nervous systems are screeching, there will be music.
Could it be that
he said that the future of music is assured. This, of course, is encouraging. And it's not just the sound of heartbeat and blood flowing in our veins or the screeching of the nervous system. For as long as we live, we will be able to engage with objects and things, including prepared and unprepared piano, as long as we can touch something. And more importantly, perhaps, as long as we can speak and use words and activate the music in them, there will be music.
The sound is invoked. In
the music in these words
but also the
is not dormant,
in that sound.
But it lies behind the meaning and sometimes in front of the meaning.
The ultimate
to access it, you have to pass to one or the other. To understand the word music, you have to conceptualize it, but to conceptualize it, you have to hear it. During the performance of Cage's music in Sarajevo that I organized, the performer, whose name was Misha Savic, did an incredible thing. He performed a piece which I believe is called Is the Word Music Music? And he recorded his voice on a magnetophone tape, then put the tape on which his voice was already recorded between his mouth and the microphone, and then said it again. And the effect of it was not unlike this sound. So there was a kind of a loop going to the magnetophone, he said that being heard in the sound system, but also he kept recording it, and kept echoing and echoing. Needless to say, after one round, the word music was in fact not just music, but very complicated, polyphonic kind of music. This was after he performed An Apple and an Orange, and I remember sitting and watching him and watching the tape, touching his lips, and watching the microphone, scratching his beard, and the music that he was performing, including the language that was inside of it, became tactile. I could imagine the touch of the microphone on his beard or the tape on his lips. Suddenly, all of the senses were invested into this performance, my senses and his senses. During the performance, if language is music, then are stories music? The performer is narration orchestration.
An incredible thing.
If to activate the musical words, you have to narrate them and put them in the context and the flow of the story, does it mean that narration is a form of orchestration? That the ability related to the ability to hear all the sounds simultaneously, the way one hears all the meaning simultaneously, the way one can imagine all the parts of the story and all of its layers operating simultaneously. In the deaf room, the sound of the heart and the nervous system will be the soundtrack of the story about the deaf room, which is to say that as long as there are living human beings, there will be music, there will be language, there will be stories too, and then the sound of the screeching nervous system is the sound of the storytelling mechanism, grinding a story into existence. That the sound of the blood in our veins is the sound of meaning emerging in the story. That the heartbeat is the sound of the story acquiring its rhythms and becoming music again and again. Suddenly, I am distracted by all this. But it is precisely because of this that I'm beginning to formulate the layers of my thought around it all. I spend my days wondering where do stories come from.
Are stories music?
There's of course music deposited in my brain. I hear music in my dreams when I sleep. I hear music when I play soccer. I once listened to an entire Mass in C minor by Mozart while playing a soccer game. In my dreams, I do not really have a choice of what I hear, and there are songs and music that torments me in my dreams, the songs that I heard in elevators or on television or in bad bars. There's a there are sounds and there's music that bore into the parts of your brain that are not friendly to that music. This also brings up the question, are stories dreams? And if you dream stories that are unpleasant, are they coming from the same part of the brain in which the bad music, the tormenting music is lodged in? Or if they're not in the same part of the brain, do they operate in some form of malicious harmony? Do they get organized inside my brain to torment me while I sleep? I read my stories aloud to myself in my head, and so they become a dream of the sound that one day I will produce when I read the story. And I edit also based on the sound. I hear the sentences and take out the sounds and the parts that sound incongruous to the rest of the sentence. My family used to have a magnetophone on which music was recorded. But before the music was recorded, my voice was recorded much like this when I was two or so. What they recorded was a dialogue or conversation with me whereby my parents asked me, and what does a chicken say? And I would say, the dog says, woof, woof. And they would ask me, what does horses say? And I would say, the dog says, woof, woof. And they would ask me, what does the donkey say? And I would say, the horse says, I mean, the dog says, woof, woof. I was unflappable at a very early age. But it was also that I sound, that I like the sound of the dog more than any other sound. This was recorded on this magnetophone. And then when I grew older, I started recording music, bad music, ABBA, and whatever was playing on the radio. But one day, I decided to see what is inside and how it all works. And so I took the magnetophone apart and spread the pieces in front of me to try to understand how it worked. And then I didn't understand how it worked. And then I put it back together, and there were quite a few pieces left after I put it back together. There were extra pieces, and needless to say, the magnetophone didn't work anymore. So my voice of childhood, my unflappable belief in the certainty of the dog's voice, was no longer available to me. Now it only exists as a story.